I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. The Justice Department has prosecuted many homegrown terror cases in the decade since 9/11. Authorities can convincingly argue they've stopped some would-be terrorists before they got a chance to hurt anyone. That could be the situation with Tariq Mahana. He's a 29-year-old American of Egyptian descent, now on trial in Boston on charges of supporting terrorists. But Mahana is a puzzling figure. His supporters say he's a respected teacher and role model who's been targeted for his unpopular views. Prosecutors say Mahana was the type of person who contemplated killing Americans at a local mall. Michael May of LatitudeNews.com spoke with Mahana's family and friends to try to answer the question, who is Tariq Mahana?
Tariq Mahana went through some typical phases as a teenager in the 1990s. Comic books, drawing, grunge music. Tariq's brother Tamer says he was the resident Nirvana expert.
You go into my brother's room and he has like binders of like histories of the band, discographies, rare LPs, stuff like that. So my brother always liked to kind of just know everything about what he's interested in. I mean, that carried on into Islam too.
But fundamentalist Islam became more than a phase. The transformation happened in 2000 during his senior year in high school, and it was sparked by an unlikely source. Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. One of his teachers assigned the book. Tamer says Tariq was inspired by the radical take on U.S. history.
Because before that, I mean, you know, we're kids, you know, like we don't really think about the world. We just have our own little microcosm. And neither of us had really given much attention and thought to like our identity as Muslims here in America.
Tariq went on to get a PhD in pharmacy. He lived with his parents in a plush suburban home. His room, though, is austere. Nothing but a bed, some weights, and a wall of floor-to-ceiling bookshelves filled with leather-bound texts covered in gilded Arabic script. Tariq's passion was translating ancient Islamic texts and putting them on his blog for other English-speaking Muslims. His friend Mohammed Bahi got to know Tariq online.
And he had hundreds and hundreds of translations, issues like the rulings on marriage, rulings on prayer, dealing with your fellow kinsmen, friends, parents.
Tariq's spiritual awakening happened at a difficult time for American Muslims. First there was 9/11, then the U.S. invaded Afghanistan and Iraq. Tariq viewed the wars as an attack on Muslims, and Muhammad says Tariq felt that Muslims had the right to defend themselves by any means necessary. Tariq began to post on a listserv called At Tibian Publications, where English-speaking Muslims praised al-Qaeda. Muhammad also frequented the site.
And he always told me, like, who the hell are we living in the West? He was like, who am I living in this, like, comfortable house? Who am I to judge those people? One man's terrorist is another man's hero.
Tariq's mother, Sawat Mahana, remembers the day in 2006 she came home to find Tariq crying. He told her that U.S. soldiers had raped a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and killed her family.
And Tariq, you know, hardly cried. It was very difficult for him. Even that day in particular, I can't forget that day, his dad talked to him and he tried to calm him. And
this incident was also discussed in court. Tariq and his friends passed around an al-Qaeda video showing the bodies of U.S. soldiers. They'd been dragged behind a truck and set on fire in retaliation. During an online chat intercepted by the FBI, Tariq wrote about the charred corpses. Texas barbecue is the way to go. Tariq was not shy about sharing his views. He gave a fiery speech at a Massachusetts mosque. Afterwards, someone approached his father and said, "If I didn't know he was your son, I'd think he was an extremist." Tariq's mother says they warned him to tone it down.
He was very, stubborn. "I'm not doing anything wrong, so you don't have to worry about anything. And we're in America. We can say anything."
According to U.S. prosecutors, Tariq did more than just talk. They say he and two close friends made a trip to Yemen in 2004 with the intent to train with a terrorist group and then go kill U.S. soldiers in Iraq. Prosecutors say Tariq failed to find any terror camps and left after 2 weeks. Back home, Tariq translated documents that encourage people to engage in jihad. Prosecutors say the act of translating in this context is a crime, material support of terrorism. His defense attorneys say no matter how unpopular his opinions are, he has the right to freedom of speech like any other American. His family never suspected he was in serious trouble until two FBI agents knocked on their door in 2008.
They said, "We met your son and we asked him to cooperate with us. He refused. We have a tape with a false statement and he can be charged in a serious charge. And it's not going to be easy for you guys. Your life is going to be hell."
Shortly afterwards, they arrested Tarek and then released him on bail. 8 months later, they arrested him again with new charges. The government announced that Tarek and his friends had planned to go on a shooting spree in a local mall. That allegation was dropped from the indictment before trial. While Tarek refused to cooperate, six of his friends agreed to testify against him. One of them, Karim Abu Zahra, is protected under full immunity. He's admitted to paying for Tarek's trip to Yemen and coming up with a plot to attack Hanscom Air Force Base. He's currently living with his family and doing IT work at the University of Massachusetts, Lowell. Meanwhile, Tarek Mahana has been in solitary confinement for 2 years. There's evidence that Tarek softened his views considerably by 2005. He posted online that Islamic law prohibited killing civilians and using suicide bombers. Mohammed Bahi says the administrators of the extremist blog at Tibian Publications finally banned Tarek from the site.
He would bring arguments against them, like the invasion of Iraq. He was like, most of the protests that happened were not in Muslim countries. They were in Western countries. He said, like in Boston, New York, he said hundreds of thousands of people took the streets. So it's like, how are these people your enemies? And a lot of people actually on that forum started changing their mind. They were like, that is a legitimate point. And I think when the admins and the moderators of the group saw that, they felt like threatened. And that's when they just banned him from the group. And then that's when I left as well.
Mohammed isn't the only person who says Tarek was a positive influence. At the Worcester Islamic Center, where Tarek taught, his students are watching the trial closely.
Everyone loved him. Every student that had him was like, he's my favorite teacher.
That's 17-year-old Karim Abdelkader. He has a hard time believing the accusations against Tarek.
I was thinking to myself, like, I have a similar background. I was born in the U.S. My parents are both born outside of the country. Am I going to be charged in the future for things like that? And it's just like, I guess you just get more scared.
The jury began deliberations on Friday. If Tarek Mahana is found guilty, he could face up to life in prison. For The World, I'm Michael May.
You can see Michael May's story on Tarek Mahana for latitudenews.com. We have a link at theworld.org.